Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and I unfortunately wasn't able to be on the show last week because I was not feeling well, part of which has to do with the fires in California and them affecting the air quality. Part of it has to do with other stuff, but the fires are certainly not helping, and it's ironic because I did actually want to talk about this last week, and then this was partly why I couldn't talk about it at all. So today we are going to talk about lung health. So I know in California we have things like Spare the Air Day, where you know you're not supposed to, if you use like a wood-burning stove or fireplace, you're not supposed to burn those on those days. If you are someone who is sensitive to things, which is, you know, children, elders, people with asthma, Spare the Air Days are days when you're not supposed to be outside as much, and if possible, you know, maybe don't take public transportation or what have you. But wildfires kind of throw a wrench into the normal everyday mix. Wildfires, it's starting to feel like, aha, yes, it's summer. You know it's summer in California when there's a fire burning somewhere, and with the, you know, percentage of California that is forest, that may be the case for a good amount of years, because for so long the, you know, procedure with dealing with fires was put it out immediately. You know, that famous Smokey Bear phrase of only you can put forest fires, which they now had to change to wildfires, because it's not so much that, you know, we can't have forest fires ever. The California ecosystem is actually somewhat based off of forest fires, to the point that some plants, their seeds won't open and won't germinate without the heat from the fire. But at the same time, since we now have done, you know, decades and decades, possibly even a century of, no, we can't have fires ever, that's created a lot of fuel on the ground from dried leaves and twigs and pine cones or whatever. And we've never allowed a fire to come through and clear that out as it's used to, and so it's just been building up and building up for years, and so when a fire starts now, it can very easily, very quickly become huge. And the Mendocino fire, if you include it as one fire, because it was two, is now the biggest fire in California's history, and it's just like, oh man. And I live in Northern California, so even though I'm not actually near the Mendocino fire, it's just like, yeah, nope, totally getting that in the air. It's not as bad now as it was, but man, there were some times where it was just like, you could see, you can't, not necessarily, but you could see like the particles, though people did notice them on like their cars where they settled, but you could just sort of see the haze or what have you in the air, to the point that, you know, as the sun started setting, it looked red, not like the normal pink orange sunset you get, like the sun itself looked vibrant red, and it's just like, oh, yeah, man, the air quality must be crap if that's what the sun looks like. But the problem with wildfires, along with, you know, threatening people's lives and homes, is that wildfire smoke includes particles from burning vegetation and building materials mixed with gases. So it's not just wood smoke. It's a number of things, you know, dozens and hundreds of structures burn. Well, those are all made out of building materials that probably are not good to actually breathe in. Like, I know in California, we're not allowed to, asbestos is illegal, but there's still plenty of older buildings that had asbestos in them. And so when those things catch on fire and that gets into the air, it's just like, great, super awesome, super awesome. So besides coughing and trouble breathing, many people can experience symptoms similar to a sinus infection, such as headaches, sore throat, a runny nose, and even tiredness. I had not all of those, but some of those when I was not feeling well, and it was just like, it's summer and I don't have a cold, but I also feel like almost as miserable as if I had a cold. Why? So the problem with a number of sort of do-it-yourself fixes to this is A, you can't really stop the fire, but B, people will often then go out and buy dust masks to try and not breathe in the particles. And that's a good idea, but only if you buy proper masks. So for example, dust masks that are used like for painting, for painter's things that you can just sort of buy at hardware stores that only have the one small strap that goes around your head, dust masks like that can actually trap large particles and they don't protect your lungs from smoke inhalation. You need a mask that uses a filtering respirator. So there are actual special smoke masks. They tend to have two bands that go around your heads. And if you like look this up of like smoke mask, dust mask, you'll see pictures comparing them of like this one, yes, this one, no. And except for the bands, there are some that look very similar to the point that it would be very easy to confuse them. But there is a low risk of long-term effects of wildfire smoke exposure for healthy individuals. And I'm probably quite lucky in that I'm not actually, again, near the fire per se. The smoke is sort of drifting here, but I can imagine, you know, if you were actually in Mendocino and didn't have to evacuate, it's just like, yeah, no, can't go outside. Absolutely cannot go outside. But again, smoke, lungs, oxygen, this is all stuff we're going to talk about today. Without sufficient oxygen, people are more prone to health problems, including respiratory illnesses, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, and even heart disease. So even though the air quality is not that great, I mean, we all obviously still need to breathe, but when you don't have great air quality or enough oxygen, you can have all these problems. And it's been found that lungs that are at rest and during most daily activities are only at about 50% of their capacity. So even if you're just taking it easy with the fire and not injuring your lungs, you're not, you know, exercising them either. So if you are a regular everyday person who somehow luckily does not have to deal with wildfires every summer, but are sort of sedentary, you can also be damaging your lungs just through your everyday lifestyle. So we're going to talk a bit more about different things you can do for lung health, irregardless of whether or not you're near a wildfire. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where today our topic is lung health and some tips to help you improve or maintain your lung health. The first one is, of course, don't smoke. Cigarette smoking is the major cause of lung cancer and COPD, including chronic bronchitis and emphysema. And it always throws me off because it seems like, A, just health-wise, pretty much scientific research has come to the conclusion of, yeah, don't smoke. But B, since I was a child, there's been so many different campaigns about not smoking that I'm always surprised to see people, especially my age, who do smoke. I'm like, did you not? You didn't see the commercials like with the lady with the hole in the throat and all the various truth commercials and none of that? Like, I actually, when I was in elementary school, there was a bus that came to the school. And I guess it must have gone like around to all the schools, but it came to our school once a year. And it was a school bus, but the insides had been sort of taken out. And instead of just regular bus seats, there were all these displays about sort of the health effects that smoking could cause. And you saw pictures of like black lungs and everything. And I was so wonderfully sufficiently terrified that I went home and sort of almost begged my grandmother, who at that time smoked, to stop smoking. I think, I'm not sure if I cried or I might have been near tears, but it was just like, in my head, it was like, she's going to die immediately because she smokes. And before that, of course, I had never really questioned it. It was like, oh, yeah, she smokes. And my mother doesn't, but that's just how adults are and moving on. And then saw that bus and was, you know, scared straight, as they say, very sufficiently scared straight. But cigarette smoke can narrow the air passages and make breathing more difficult. So especially if, like me, you are in somewhere in California or not even it, in somewhere near where a wildfire is affecting the air quality that you experience every day, cigarette smoking not helping that at all, just making things even more worse. But smoking can also cause chronic inflammation or swelling in the lung, which can lead to chronic bronchitis. And over time, cigarette smoke destroys lung tissue and may trigger changes that grow into cancer. And again, I'm always surprised to see people my age smoking, because I was like, you totally saw those campaigns about lung cancer, right? You totally did. I know you must have, and you just decided not to, but I'm not quite sure why. It's like, it was very hard for a certain amount of time to not see any truth campaign whatsoever on TV. They've sort of, I don't want to say backed off. There's less now. It feels like they're less pervasive than they were, but you still totally see them every now and again, not just on TV, but, you know, on billboards or at bus stops. It's like, this is still totally a thing. And yet there are still lots of smokers. Okay. But other things besides smoking to focus on for lung health, you should test your home for radon, which sounds, I mean, I kind of knew radon was real, but I also kind of didn't. It sounds very sci-fi. That's certainly not things that you usually test for. I know, I think, if not in all of California, certainly in some places where I've lived, there is a law for newer buildings, for newer tenement buildings. If you have like a landlord, they are required to have not only smoke detectors, but carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide. Now I've forgotten. They're required to have one of those detectors as well, because that's, you know, really a silent killer. It's not like we're smoking where, you know, something's probably causing a fire and someone else might notice that. It can kill, you know, in your sleep. So places that have, you know, renters that rent things out from you, you're required in some places to actually have those detectors in as well. Radon, I had never heard of. I'm not sure that there are radon detectors, but there is a way to evidently test your home for radon, so that's something you might want to consider. You should avoid exercising outdoors on bad air days. So again, you know, where I live, you have spare the air day. So if it's spare the air day, you know, go to the gym or go to the mall and walk around and just browse or something. Don't go exercise outside. And I was so shocked last week and the week before, even before I was sick, to see people like jogging outside. And I'm like, are you kidding? I can literally see the air, which means you probably shouldn't be doing anything outside. And I take public transportation. So I'm already sort of like, well, dang it, but I've, you know, got to get where I'm going. So I guess there's not really too much of an alternative. But you have purposefully chosen to go jogging in this air right now, along with the, you know, smoking 20 somethings. I'm just like, I don't quite understand that. And I don't know that most health officials would either. I think it is interesting, though, that they say good oral hygiene can protect you from the germs in your mouth that lead to infections. So you should do the regular, you know, recommend oral hygiene of brush your teeth twice a day, floss, see the dentist every 6 months. I thought this was just normal, but evidently it's not. My dentist did totally always have me do a 6-month checkup. that was required. We ended one appointment. It's like, okay, so you're due back in 6 months. What appointment would you like? What day and time works for you? But evidently that's not required. Some dentists don't do that. But for your health, because oral health can lead to infections and that can infect your lungs, see your dentist every 6 months and get the flu vaccine every year. And I know a lot of people don't get the flu vaccine most years, to the point that I'm not sure even if the, you know, the CDC and all the health centers, if everyone did decide, you know what, no, I'm really going to get the flu vaccine, if they'd actually have enough vaccine in stock to be able to do that. When I was in college, it was free. And so I was like, well, hey, might as well, because, you know, I'm in college. And so I'm around other students and always with in school, being around other people, you like up your chances to get sick. And that's why, you know, as we go into colder weather, people think, oh, you get sick more because it's cold. But it might actually just be, well, it's cold, so you're inside more, so you're around people more. So yeah, it's more about just the increased contact with people who are sick. So I used to get the flu vaccine and I generally try to, but sometimes it's just like, I can understand. It's just like, eh, that is a hassle. And or the thing that throws me off it is where they're like, oh, the flu vaccine was only this percentage amount effective for people this year. And I'm like, what? I mean, I get that, you know, people are different. And so not every vaccine will work for everybody. But that seems a rather not helpful percentage for a vaccine. And it keeps changing and the virus keeps changing. So they have to come up with new vaccines every year to try and keep up with the changing bugs. And so, you know, that's partly why the percentage may not be great, is because they have to keep doing changes to the vaccine to try and keep it up to date, if you will. But at the same time, that also just sort of worries me, because I'm like, on the one hand, I feel like we could possibly easily go to a Contagion situation. And if you haven't seen the film Contagion, I'd say probably don't. If you're at all like a sort of sickness germaphobe or anything, you'll freak yourself out. But it was very interesting, especially how plausible it seemed to, you know, sort of start a worldwide epidemic very easily. But on the other hand, I'm just like, but if it's not useful, I mean, better safe than sorry, I guess. I always try and get it when I can. It used to be free for me. It's not so much anymore. So I'm just like, gah, curses. I just don't have it right now. But when I do have the money, I try and get it. So I hope to soon get back to the stage where it can be free for me, because that was beautiful. It was like, sure, why not? Especially if I happened to have a doctor's appointment around the time flu season started. My doctor would always sort of, I was walking, I'll be like, oh, have you got the flu shot? We're offering it right now. And it's just like down the hall. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm here. So, and it doesn't cost me anything with the insurance I did have. So yeah. Okay. Again, I'm a very much of a better safe than sorry sort of thing when it seems like that's the case. When it's like, oh, we're not sure that that would actually be better safe than sorry. I'm like, hold up, pause. But most health officials are in agreement that people, especially the most vulnerable, which is children and the elderly and people who already have, you know, problems with breathing or their immune system, should get the flu shot every year. So that is definitely something they do recommend for your lung health. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. Beyond the sort of healthy prevention, don't get sick things to keep from going to, you know, negative effects for lungs, there are also some things you can do to just increase the positive effects without fighting against the negative effects to increase your lung health or increase your lung capacity. So, for example, these are things like diaphragmatic breathing. And this is a breathing technique which uses awareness of the diaphragm muscle as you breathe, and it can help increase your lung capacity. And the way I learned about the diaphragm is if you lie down on your back and just breathe normally, rather than your chest moving, as we tend to think of, you know, when people take deep breaths, we think of their chest, you know, expanding and contracting. You should actually see your belly move, because that means that you're expanding in the bottom part of your lungs, which pushes out your diaphragm, which then pushes out your belly. If it's just your chest, you're not doing the diaphragmatic breathing. It's not as deep as you could get. You can also increase lung capacity by increasing the length of your inhales and your exhales. So if you just sort of breathe normally and count like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and see how long that takes you to do, you do generally want your inhales and exhales to be the same amount of time, but then if you slowly try and like increase the count. So if you know your regular breath is like two, then go up to three, then go up to four, and just sort of see how long you can breathe in and out in a sort of controlled manner. And you should be mindful of your posture, not just when doing these exercises, but pretty much all the time, to make room for your lungs, because you can sort of, if you slouch over, you're kind of collapsing in, not collapsing in your lungs like a collapsed lung medical emergency, but you're limiting the amount of space that your lungs can actually fill. So even if you think you're breathing a full amount of breath, if your lungs aren't able to fully take in all that air anyways, you're limiting the amount of air you can take in. You're limiting the amount, the capacity that your lungs are working at, and they're not working to their full capacity. You're not helping your lung health. Staying well hydrated. This can help the mucosal linings in the lungs, which helps your lungs function better, which always seems a little strange to me because, and I'm sure we've all had that thing where, you know, food or drink goes down the wrong pipe, as my family says, where you were drinking, but you kind of sort of inhaled or laughed or something. And so it goes, I think it's actually the same pipe, but there's a little sort of, I'm going to call it a flap, that closes when you're drinking so that you don't actually get liquid into your lungs. But if you messed it up or did it while laughing, that flap was open while you were taking in food or fluids. And so then you get that whole sort of choking cough where you feel like, oh my gosh, I might die for a moment. That doesn't make me think that, oh yes, fluid, good for my lungs. It's like, no, fluid in the lungs, bad. It's drowning and a health problem. Fluid in the lungs, like, that comes up on, you know, all those forensic shows all the time, and the dead body. But you want to stay hydrated for the lining to help keep your lungs. Though, again, please don't, you know, try and inhale while drinking. That you don't literally want to put fluid on your lung lining. You want to stay hydrated so the water can work within your body, including on the lining of your lungs. Also, laughter works the abdominal muscles and increases lung capacity. And this, you've probably had that where you're laughing so hard that like your stomach hurts, that you kind of like almost bend over because you're laughing that hard. On the one hand, at the moment, it's just like, oh man, I can't stop and I really kind of want to because this hurts. But on the other hand, that feels good, doesn't it? Afterwards, after you've had a literal big belly laugh, to just be like, A, it cheers you up, but then B, also, I believe it's something about, what is it? Laughter works out your abs more than crunches or something like that. Something very similar, that laughter actually, you know, sort of exercises your abs much more than you would think. I don't think that, you know, you can have a exercise regime of just going home and watching comedy shows, but I do generally often feel better, both physically and just emotionally, after I've watched a show I like that makes me laugh. It also clears out your lungs by forcing out the stale air and allowing fresh air to enter into more areas of the lung. Because again, you're not in that very typical breathing state that you're normally in, where you're not using your lungs to your full capacity, where you're only using about 50% or so. So laughter, putting it in this whole more exercisable state, forces out the stale air, allows new air in, so you feel, again, lighter because you've just been laughing and all the good feeling hormones that produces. But then also, you've gotten fresh new air with oxygen in it, and that also can make you feel better. And you should aim for at least 20 minutes every day of consistent, moderately intense movement. Now, again, this can vary from person to person, and some recommendations say 20, some say 30. I think I've seen a couple that say 15. You do want to at least do some sort of exercise every day. It doesn't have to be the, like, so hard I feel I might collapse, you know, aerobic exercise. It doesn't have to be HIIT every day, and you probably shouldn't be doing HIIT every day anyways. But you do want to at least get your body moving and work out your lungs a little every day. Though again, if you are on like a bad air day or at a period like this with all the wildfire smoke, maybe don't do that outdoors. Just saying. So I hope these tips have been helpful. I hope that everyone who, like me, is in an area where you are experiencing bad air because of the wildfires or some other natural problem, that clears up soon. I hope that you all stay healthy, regardless of whether or not you're on a bad air day. And until next time, thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.